Bishus Rosh Yeshiva, when Shaya asked me last week to give the Sichas Musar, so I told him, obviously, that I'd be happy to do so. So I asked him if there was a specific topic that SOI or the Yeshiva wanted people to speak about, or just to go more freestyle. So Shaya mentioned, so do whatever you want, but this is already B'tkufa's finals, and maybe something about finals would be appreciated. There are two different ways of thinking about when a person has finals, has life stresses, has life strains upon them. A person can approach whatever the task at hand is, whatever the challenge at hand is, and really come up in a very prati way, in a very specific way, to address those challenges. How to deal with stress, how to deal with tension, how to balance responsibilities, how to see value in Yisurin. That's in a very specific way of dealing with challenges in front of a person. But in a more klali way, in a more general way, instead of focusing perhaps on a specific mechanism of how to deal with a challenge, how to deal with tsar in certain ways, a person can set a course for themselves where they feel that their life is on a certain dargah. Their life is just on a certain level. Their thoughts are elevated. Their aspirations in general are elevated. A person is focused on the big issues of what it means to be a person. And when a person experiences that, when a person lives on a certain dargah in life, or he has aspirations to live on that dargah, so the whole context of how he views a tsar in front of him, the whole way in which he'll view the challenge of midterms or finals or other life challenges are different. Not that he doesn't recognize the challenge, not that he's arrogant or that he's above the challenge, but that he's existing on some plane. His life has created a context where the challenges of his life are viewed differently. The story that I heard recently about an interaction that Margaret Thatcher had with the Queen. I don't know how many times Margaret Thatcher has been referenced in this space medrash before. When she first became Prime Minister in 1979, where she and the Queen went to the same dinner together, and of course Margaret Thatcher was desirous of making a good impression on the Queen, and she showed up, and the absolute biggest travesty occurred. She was wearing the same dress as the Queen. And she rushed home afterwards. She was highly embarrassed. And she wrote a note to the Queen's secretary the next day. And she said, "I'm so sorry. I should have checked first. And we wore the same outfit. It's embarrassing. Please extend my apologies to the Queen." And she gets a note back later that day from the secretary. She said, "The Queen doesn't notice what people are wearing. She's the Queen." It's probably almost as insulting in a way, but... And there's something about that. When a person is the melech, or a person is a bas melech, or a bas malkam, when a person is the Queen, when a person has aspirations for greatness, so you're not necessarily derailed. You're not necessarily worried about every single issue in life. But your life just has a certain context to it. There's a famous Gemara, famous question of Tosfos that I'm sure everyone here is familiar with. Tosfos asks in Brachos and Daf Chaf Aleph from Beis about why is it that, of course, Birchas HaTorah is an anomaly. You say one Birchas HaTorah a day. So Tosfos and the Rosh, they give different answers, but certainly similar answers. But because of the necessity of learning all day, there's no hefsik. Even when a person goes off to work, when a person goes off, he's a surgeon, he's a dentist. It's a very difficult answer of Tosfos. But again, if a person understands that their life exists on a certain plane of existence, so then even when they're not learning, but the whole way they view the world, the whole way they view their life is through the prism of their great aspirations. So I want to speak for a few minutes, whatever it is, 15 minutes or so, about something that I believe is an element that is so fundamental to who we are, so fundamental to a life vision of living on a certain plane, But it's probably something that's not discussed very often, and that's namely the obligation of Avas Hashem, the obligation to live life where we have almost consumed with a depth of love, a depth of hakara of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's a certain almost sadness about the very identity of the Chovas Levavos, the inner obligations of Avas Hashem, of Yichud Hashem. We know that Rabbeinu Bachya, in his introduction to the Chovas Levavos, so he discusses both as far as logic and as far as psukim, as far as chazal, that if a person only lives life with the Chovas Levarim, and only lives life as significant as it is of Lima Torah, or Shmiras HaMitzvos, but there's not a dedication to, there's not a cultivation of the Chovas HaLevavos, of the inner life of a Jew. He has a very strong formulation, almost like, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of having the whole life of the Chovas HaLevavos, if the Chovas HaLevavos, the inner world, the inner life of a Jew, mitzvos of Avos Hashem and others, are not cultivated, are not thought about? There's almost a certain sadness of the Chovas HaLevavos. The average, and as much as I love Balabatim, and this is not meant in a disparaging way, as a Rav of a Shul, you get to see the greatness of Balabatim. People don't want to hear week in and week out about Avas Hashem and Yirei Shemayim. And often B'nai Yeshiva are too busy with other things to sort of focus on the mitzvos, the Chovas HaLevavos. A person should be learning, a person should be this, a person... And under whose purview then becomes the obligations of Chovas HaLevavos? It's something that each person needs to be dedicated to. So I'm going to spend maybe a few minutes speaking about this great mitzvah of Avas Hashem. I think all of us recognize, obviously, that it's an obligation. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa. All of us recognize that to have any type of meaningful connection in tefillah with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is impossible without Avas Hashem. The question is, how's that developed? How does a person become an ohev of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So I want to maybe suggest, just in my own life, three different thoughts, which I try to work on myself, to try to develop this mid of Avas Hashem. And again, very simply, everything that's found in the Sifrei Musar. On a very simple level, we know the Rambam tells us at the end of Hilchas Teshuva, that how does a person, what's the image of a person who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By the way, as a side note, the placement of Avas Hashem at the end of Hilchas Teshuva is interesting, because really the major place the Rambam speaks about this is Sodei HaTorah. But the Rambam says that to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like loving a woman deeply. In the same way that a person, when they're truly in love, that's what they think about, that's what they're consumed with. So too, that's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. And what we know by the mitzvah, or the reality of a man who loves a woman and vice versa, is often we know that a young man or a young woman seeks to fall deeply in love before marriage, and that's often a prerequisite to marriage. And everyone here knows the famous discussion by Rav Dessler and the Kutras HaChesed, that what really, truly generates feelings of love is really Mesiras Nefesh, is giving to each other, is commitment to each other. Dr. David Pelkovitz, who I'm sure all of you know, you've heard him speak before, he discusses a funny maisa of when he got married, and I asked him permission to use the story, and he said absolutely. He went out with his wife on a few dates, and by all accounts, it was an absolute disaster. She didn't like him, and he didn't like her, and they parted after the second date, never thinking they would speak to each other ever again. The brothers of Mrs. Pelkovich, she comes from the Butler family from Pittsburgh, they were dead set on making this shidduch work. So they called up Dr. Pelkovitz, David Pelkovitz, and said, my sister, she's crazy about you. She absolutely wants to go out again, and she's absolutely heartbroken. And he's thinking to himself, well, I didn't think the date went so well. And then they called her up, and she said, Pelkovitz, he cannot sleep. He's crazy about you. So once already they had their mindset that things could work, they made the effort, they made the effort, they made the effort. And then obviously the feelings came afterwards, and that was 35 years ago. But the first thing that came was certainly not a feeling. It was a feeling that let's make this work. That's true by all relationships. It's a very beautiful discussion in the Gemara Pesachim that Hoshea Hanavi, he felt, and this is what we know from the Gemara, from the Midrashim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just basically get rid of Klal Yisrael, take another nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't know what it means to be a father. And he says, go out and find a zona and have children, and you'll see what it means to love and be moser nefesh and to worry about children and give to children. And only once you experience that, the worry of a parent, the tzar of a parent, only once you're moser nefesh for your own children can you come to love Klal Yisrael in the proper fashion. We know the Medrash tells us, and the Rabban quotes, that Ulohavai, Ulashomrei Mitzvosai, Ulashomrei Mitzvosai is speaking about, the Medrash tells us, the Rabban quotes, as I said, that who are those people who love me? It's those people that come out during the Roman occupation, and they learn Torah in public, and they do mitzvos in public. And because of that Mesiris Nefesh, because of those efforts, because of that tsar, because of that sacrifice, it's only then they came to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what the Medrash tells us. And so often in our Avodas Hashem, we cling on to a notion that we need to feel inspired. We need to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't feel that, what value is our learning? What value is our davening? But perhaps it's the reverse, the Bali Musar saying, that if we truly are Moser Nefesh in our Avodas Hashem, even perhaps on days where there's no inspiration, for Moser Nefesh in the way that we learn, in the way we come to a base medrash. If there's real Mesiris Nefesh to daven and to daven seriously, if there's real Mesiris Nefesh to think about the object, the chefzo, when a person says a bracha, the person truly commits themselves to a certain life, so then the ava emanates from that. The ava emanates from the experience of Mesiris Nefesh. But do we live lives like that? We live lives where we're giving every ounce we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. That's one thought about Avas Hashem, that the Ava emanates from the Mesiris Nefesh and not necessarily vice versa. There's another thought as well. We know obviously the Pasuk tells us, Kol Tzmosai Tamarna Mikamocha. I think the way that the average person will understand that Pasuk is that when a person truly praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my whole body sings out. And that certainly is true. But it's also true, which the Bali Musar point out, and Rav Volbi speaks about this at length, is that a person can only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu if the entirety of their being serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person wants to be disciplined when it comes to Lima Torah, but their life is a mess. Every other part of their life is disorganized, and their room is a mess, and their life is a mess. So how is that person going to be a person of Seder? Kol Tzmosai Tamarna means that I need to have a certain consistency. And only once I'm a certain type of person, through and through, can I then also serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the totality of my being. Rav Kook points out, I know I'm short on time, I don't want to go over. Rav Kook says, and he says this in a few places, Yevshar klal lavo lidei rom haruach shehodu l'Hashem kiru bishmo hodiyu ba'amim alilosav. It's impossible for a person to bring themselves to a point where they truly sing to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where they love a Kadosh Baruch Hu, below ahava pnimis, without an inner love, mi'amake lev nefesh, from the depths of his heart, lehetiv la'amim kulam, to love all nations and to love all people, and to love Klal Yisrael, l'shaperes kinyanehem, l'asheres chayehem. How can a person sing out, says Rav Kook, and this is such a typical line by Rav Kook, how can they sing out with Ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the very nature of their beings are ones which are bereft of love? How does a father love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when a father can barely even express affection or emotion, physically or otherwise, to their own children? How can a person love HaKadosh Baruch Hu if they don't have an openness of spirit that truly embraces and loves humanity b'chlal, Klal Yisrael b'prat, people even more specifically, their family, their siblings, their children, their parents? If we don't have a personality of Ava, if we don't develop within ourselves a personality of Ava, so how is it even conceivable to have some type of Ava towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We don't have to go any further than just simply even seeing the examples and the models of the Gedolim. He used to say about Rosh Shlomo Zalman, when he would walk down the streets of Shaarei Chesed, he would be followed by children. And just almost like touching children in the street and just embracing them. It was like this love of humanity, a love of people, a love of children. There was an openness of spirit. There was a love of people around him. Rav Moshe, when he was Nifter, I mentioned this morning, I gave a quick schmooze to the guys from Golvach Shir. The Hispanic youth from his building were crying after Rav Moshe was Nifter. And he said Rav Moshe would come in, he would ask about us, he would ask about our families. He had such a gentleness and a warmth. You want to know why Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman could love a Kodesh Baruch Hu? It was their very nature. And then that became translated towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They tell so many stories about Rav Yaakov. Certain stories that probably in 30 years from now, 40 years ago, they would never tell. I'll say it now so it gets on the record properly. The Rav Yaakov was such a person. He just simply loved people. He was such a baleitza because he saw people and he knew people. You know, when he moved to the United States after he was living in Toronto, so he was living in Williamsburg, and the Talmud came in, and it was some night in November, and all of a sudden there's knocking on the door and knocking on the door. So the Talmud said, Rebbe, there's a minhag in the United States. It's called trick-or-treating. It's this. You may not know about it. So Yaakov says, I don't know about it. Rebbetzin, bring out the candy. She had a whole bag in the back, and the kids were coming in, and Jewish and not Jewish. But he had this love. He had a love for humanity around him. He said about Rav Yaakov, again, these stories that just reflect a certain spirit, a certain quality of who he was. I heard a story from Rabbi Wein recently, that he was at a chasana with Rav Yaakov. And the chasana was of a person who was a survivor, and his family was wiped out, and he got married when he came to the States, and he had a daughter who got married very late in life, and finally this daughter got married, who's an older man already, very, very wealthy, and the wedding was like the wedding of the century, probably is the New York Hilton, and the wedding was so fancy, there were doves as the centerpieces of the table at the wedding, live doves as a centerpiece. And when they walked out to get their coats for their wives, Rav Yaakov and Rabbi Wein, somebody came up to Rav Yaakov and he says, Rebbe, what do you make of this wedding? Disgusting, the Baal Tashchis. How can you understand such a thing? I don't understand how it could be to spend this amount of money. And Rav Yaakov instantaneously said, you don't understand this wedding. You don't understand that this was a person bringing his revenge against Hitler this evening, bringing his revenge against his history. Rav Yaakov had such a love of people, an understanding of people. He had such a softness. And if there's going to be anybody in this base medrash that lives life with a hardness of spirit, without an embracing spirit, what ability do we have to truly love a Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's number two, and I'll mention number three very briefly. The Rambam tells us in Perek Beis and Hilchos Yesodei Torah, and everyone should take a look at it when they have a chance. It's really an absolutely beautiful Rambam. The Rambam says that the way that a person loves the Kodesh Baruch Hu is that a person is yisbonei, and a person looks at the creation that God has brought to the world. A person looks when they have a child who's born. A person looks at the Bria. A person looks at nature. A person looks at history. And miyad, immediately, a person's spirit soars with Ava for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, when a person looks at the mitzvos, and they analyze the mitzvos, and they see the godless of what the Torah is, so miyad, the person's spirit is filled with Ava towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'll mention a very brief story. We had someone who came to our house about a month ago, and he had just converted. And this was his first Shabbos in spending with a Jewish family. His name was Pranav. He grew up as an Indian and grew up in a Hindu religion. So we asked him, what motivated your conversion to Yadus? And he said, it was really the mitzvos. He says, if you're a Hindu and you want to be orthodox, you want to be religious, it means totally separating yourselves from the world. When I saw the mitzvos, the obligations of the Torah, that the mitzvahs are there to live in this world, but to sanctify the world, to be integrated, but to lift up. I thought, this is a religion I want to be a part of. The Rambam says, just looking at the mitzvahs and the greatness of what we do, that brings Avas Hashem. The Rambam says, when you look at the Torah, the history of the Torah, the history of the Mesorah, that cultivates Avas Hashem. Remember, whenever I would sit in Rosh Shechter Shir and think back to this base Medrash, Rav Shechter is a Talmud of the Rav, and the Rav, obviously, the grandson of Rav Chaim, and back to the Beis Halevi, and Rav Chaim Veloshin, and the Vilna Gaon, back to the Ramah, to the Rambam, back to Har Sinai, that every single generation is manifesting itself, expressing itself through that shir of Rav Shechter in that day, the Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that experience. But even on days, I imagine many of us felt this on this past Friday, where you look at the world and the world doesn't feel like a place that cultivates a feeling of Avas Hashem, and it's obviously something that needs to be addressed, something that we need to work on. But if a person just had a sense of themselves, a person, as we daven Maariv in a minute, stands up to be Misvalel, they have a sense of themselves that their very being is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The very kernel of their existence is wrapped up in the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The very nature of our lives is one where the Rambam says, you look at the world, and not even the world outside, but the world inside. V'yovin, a person understands. How does a person's soul not soar? How does a person's soul not fill with the deepest, deepest feelings of Avas Hashem? That's when a person looks, and they're misbonein, and they understand, and they see. So I ask all of us to live lives that are elevated, live lives that are focused on chovos levavos, to really be moser nefesh, and to hope and be mispalel that the Avas Hashem emanates from that. I ask that all of us develop personas and qualities, and we become people where we cultivate a personality of openness and of warmth and of love of the Bria and love of Klal Yisrael and love of people around us. And lastly, that as we daven now, as we go through our days as Ovdei Hashem, we look malamala, we look at the Torah, the mitzvos, we look ma bifnim. We see the greatness of who we are. We see the greatness of our own personas, people. And we allow that to develop a deep-seated, long-lasting Avas Hashem in a way that brings great meaning, great depth, and great joy to our lives as Ovdei Hashem. Good night.